God's people have had over the years. I guess about everybody thinks about it one time or another. This is one of those hard questions of life, and I'm going to answer it from the Word of God tonight. And so you listen. This will help you if you'll listen. It's kind of a message and also kind of a lesson. So you'll listen carefully, I hope. And I'm going to give you an outline on it. The message tonight deals with this great question that people have asked down through the years. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? And I'm sure, don't sit there and look at me like you hadn't wondered that. We all, I guess about everybody in here has. I have. Don't it make you wonder sometime when you see somebody, they're just living like a devil, and it seems like they never have no problems. They got anything a person could want. They seem like just breeze through, and then over here you got somebody trying to do right, and they don't have nothing but one problem right after another. That's a hard question, isn't it? That'd make an atheist out of a man if he ain't careful. That makes people think, well, good night, there ain't no God because it's not fair. Look at all these people living like the devil and they're being blessed. But there is an answer to it, and I'm going to give it to you tonight. Job chapter 21 and Jeremiah chapter 12. Look at Job 21 and verse 7. Job, the great man in the Old Testament from the land of Uz, asked this question. He said this, wherefore, why do the wicked live? Become old, yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes, that's their kids. They graduate from college, they have BMWs, they have money in the bank, they get degrees, they're pretty. They get to be, valedictorian of their class, they're a cheerleader in college, they get offers for TV commercials, all kind of stuff. Just because their parents are rich or something like that. Verse 9. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock. And their children dance. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Now think about that. That's Hollywood in 1990. I mean, they got anything a person wants. And you go out there and say, boy, you need the Lord. They say, what do you mean I need the Lord? What good does it do me to pray to God? I've got everything I want. We're going to live a happy life. Live, I'm going to die and leave it all, and that's going to be it. What's the deal, man? And that's the way the world thinks tonight. The world thinks, why bother with church? And why bother with doing right and trying to serve God? We got it made. Look at Jeremiah chapter 12. Same question comes up. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgment. Boy, Jeremiah's getting bold out of the Lord, wasn't he? He kind of butters him up and said, now, Lord, you're righteous and holy, but now I need to talk to you about something. Something don't seem quite right here. He said, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they all happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Now he asked the same question. I want to preach to you and answer this question tonight. And I want to give you six reasons from the Bible. And this is a great lesson on philosophy. You can be a smarter person if you'll listen to what I'm getting ready to say. You'll be wiser if you're listening to what I'm getting ready to say. One thing you need to know is that you learn more than just about heaven and hell when you come to church. You learn about life. We got kids that sing in this youth choir that really know more about life than some professors and universities. They don't know the real questions of life. The question I bring up tonight, why do the wicked prosper? This question has puzzled men down through the centuries. Job, as far as we can tell, is the oldest book in the world. Oldest book even written before Genesis, as far as we can tell. Before the time of Moses. And there's several reasons for that I won't go into right now. But it could very well could be the oldest book of all. That don't mean it happened before Genesis. That means it was written down before, okay? So you need to understand that. They had been accusing him of having sin in his life, and he answers on the basis of the prosperity of the wicked. The great question is, why do the righteous suffer, and why do the wicked prosper? That's a question, brother. That's a question. Hasn't it ever dawned on you? Don't the devil ever bother you with that sometime, that maybe you're going to work and it takes every dime you make to pay your bills, and it seems like right when you think you're caught up, something happens, the roof starts leaking, the water heater goes out, the pump breaks down, the car goes out, it blows a motor, you got to have this fixed, you got to have that fixed. Just trouble, 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 trouble. Then the devil will turn you around, there's so-and-so. And they party every weekend. And all they do will make their money cheating people, living like the devil. And it just like bling, 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 bling. They have everything they want. They have more than heart could wish. They said that Shirley Temple made her first $1 million before she was 10 years old. Made $1 million now before she is 10 years old. That was in the early 1930s. $1 million in 1932, brother, was a lot of money. $1 million in 1932, I don't know. It was maybe worth probably $10 million now. Probably could do as much as $10 million now, maybe more, I don't know. But it was a lot of money. Isn't that something? They say that many years ago, there was 56,000 multimillionaires just in New York. Wherefore do the wicked prosper, become old, and are mighty? Paul McCartney, in the year 79-80, back in 1979, made $57 million. That's what he made that year. That was just one year. That's not back in the heyday of the Beatles. That's not with his latest tour here a couple of years back. They said that Al Capone, now, you know what a wicked man Al Capone is. He made $105 million the year 1927. 1927, man made $105 million. You say, was he a hard-working Christian? No, he's a bank robber. I mean, brother, and so you see, a lot of these young people, they get them out and they arrest them for drugs. And they say, why don't you get you a job? And they say, I ain't working for no $7 or $8 an hour when I can go sell drugs on Friday night and make $400 or $500 in one evening. And brother, it just seems like the more wicked a person is, the more money they make. It seems like the more evil they are. Look at Madonna. I mean, brother, if Madonna is not a demon, she is as close to a demon in the flesh as you could possibly get. I'm talking about actually demon-energized power in the flesh is that woman. Everything she touches turns into money. There are people worship at her feet. She can have anything a person can want with the snap of their finger, and brother wears a big cross around her neck just as a mockery to God. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Danny, her two best songs are Like a Prayer and Like a Virgin. Yeah, I know it. That's two subjects she knows nothing about. Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. And brother, I'm going to tell you what, brother, it seems like the more wicked a person is, the better they got it, don't it? Don't it seem like that? It sure does. They said old Hetty Greer, many, many years ago, had $31 million in the bank. She was the world's greatest miser. I read about her somewhere in a world record book or something. And her son had to have his leg amputated where he got it hurt and had to get free medical service. She lived off cold oatmeal because she wouldn't turn on the stove to heat it. That's how tight she was. Eat cold oatmeal every day of her life because she's too cheap to turn the stove on, man. Had $31 million. But if I had $31 million in the bank, you'd never see me eating oatmeal.
unless I just wanted some. And I ain't wanted none. I mean, I like oatmeal, but Lord have mercy. She left an estate worth $95 million, and it's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. It really is. Being poor is a problem, brother, but being rich ain't the answer. You hear me? Being poor is a problem, but getting rich ain't the answer. Well, I want to give you some reasons why that the wicked prosper. You know why so many young boys want to grow up and be rock singers? One of the rock singers in the group, I believe it was Kiss, the rock group Kiss, he said, if anybody tells you that they get into the music industry because they want to contribute to the artistic ability, and he said, that's a bunch of junk. He said, it's girls, it's drugs, it's all this kind of thing that goes along with it. That's why these young boys think, man, if I had what they had, I get all the girls and all the drugs I want. And so they know the more wicked you get, the more that stuff you can get. And you know, that's the truth. That's the truth. And the people say, well, why is that? Why is that? All right, number one. Here's the first reason. Young people, get it down. Get it down. You need to get this. Number one, the Lord lets wicked people prosper so that some of them may become monuments of God's mercy. See, sometimes God saves famous people. And when He does, they have a tremendous, tremendous testimony for the glory of God. When a famous, great person gets saved, such as an athlete or a football star, maybe a musician or maybe a rock singer, something like that, famous person, people says, whoa, listen to them. Maybe they get on a Billy Graham crusade and give their testimony, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get saved. God lets them prosper and get to a certain point because He knows He's going to save them by His grace, and He makes them a great mercy, a monument to His blessed name. The Apostle Paul was an example of this great truth, where he was a blasphemer. He was a injurer. He hated the church of God. He was a very intelligent man. He was educated, a Jew of the Jews. He was informed. He was a very well-to-do gentleman in his religion. And he was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest religious Jewish teachers of his day. And one day God saved that boy on the road to Damascus. He turned right around, went back into town, and it blew their mind. God lets the wicked prosper so some of them can get saved and become monuments of His mercy. Amen. They said that happens a lot of times. A lot of times. A Nazi leader many, many years ago put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they was going to hang him. And he said, I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, right there before they hung him to death. God lets a man become great sometimes so He can save him and say, looky here what the grace of God can do. You know, sometimes people get saved and people look at him like, well, the only reason they go to church is because they can't do nothing else. The only reason they go to church is because that's the only crowd that'll have anything to do with them. But sometimes God saves one out of the world where if that somebody knows they could have made it big and knows they could have used their talent out there in the world somewhere and know, so this world will say, they must be something to this thing. What got a hold of him? God saves them lets them prosper that they may become monuments of His mercy. Number two, God lets the wicked prosper that they become old and mighty, that they might build for the righteous. Do you know that? That they might build for the righteous. We who are saved daily enjoy the benefits of science and modern discoveries that wicked people come up with. Ain't that right? We sure do. I don't know if the man who invented the air conditioner was a Christian or not, but I'm sure glad he did. Amen? I tell you what, a lot of times God lets them get old and prosper so that we can enjoy what they do. We live off their benefits. We take advantage of what they do and use it for God. Amen? Video cameras, I don't know who invented video cameras, but we're using one for the Lord here tonight. Maybe somebody will take this video, see it somewhere. Have it. Our videos have went all over the country, different places, radio, microwave oven, washers and dryers, airplane. I mean, if somebody hadn't invented the airplane, I couldn't have flew to Colorado, got back for here for Sunday service, preached out there, seen people saved, come back here, do what I do. It couldn't have happened. God lets them prosper so that their wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. God used this in Moses' day when Pharaoh was prospering on the throne of what you call it down there? Babylon and Egypt, and Pharaoh was down there on the throne, and he had all that stuff, and Moses grew up right under Pharaoh's nose and inherited all of those blessings. God lets the wicked prosper so that we can take advantage of what they come up with and use it for the glory of God. Number three, they become mighty. God lets the wicked prosper to demonstrate the mercy and long-suffering of God. It brags on God. It's a compliment to God when you see the wicked prospering. You know why? Because we say, buddy, if I was God, I'd ball up my fist and I'd go just like that. Do you realize how people are talking about God nowadays? Do you realize that people blaspheme God, how he looked up with kings and priests, Hitlers, Mussolini's, Lenin and Stalin, and how long he put up with them guys before he finally sent them on to hell? Do you realize how long God let them go before he finally said, no, Father, that's it, cut them up? God is long-suffering so that people stand back and say, whoa, how great God is, how wonderful he is to put up with this world. You think about all that's going on in this world right now. You think of the people that's being stabbed and murdered and raped, and little kids being tortured right now. They broke into a place down in Dallas, Texas, sometime back, the police did, and they got this child pornography ring. I heard them talking about recently about states passing laws against child pornography. That shouldn't even be something that's voted on. Taking kids in there, making pornography movies out of them. Lord, have mercy. How far have we sunk in this nation? That's as wicked as the black walls of hell. Amen? Brother, listen. Man, I'll tell you what. Somebody's going to think I'm awful when they hear me say this on the radio. But boy, I better not never catch no pervert messing with one of my girls. I could tell about lose my religion about that long enough to blow his brains out. And the Lord would bless me. Amen? Something wrong with our generation for saying, oh, I'll tell you what, it's everybody has a right. You don't have no right to be no pervert. Amen? Hey, listen to me tonight. They demonstrate the mercy of God. Boy, I tell you, I heard about a fella back in the 1940s used to get up on the saloon on the pool tables and have malt prayer meetings. Then they'd thank God for their bottles of liquor and drink them. And God got a hold of that old boy's heart and saved him by his grace. And he got a handful of tracts and sent him right back into them same saloons to give out tracts and witness. Boy, when people say that, they say God must be mighty great to be able to change a man like that. You know, I said something a while ago about Madonna wearing a cross. Did you know the most famous symbol that rock singers wear in their ears? A preacher friend of mine got on an elevator the other day, and he's an old country preacher now. You'll have to excuse this guy. He just don't know no better. He's an old mountain preacher, and he got on the elevator the other day, and there's a boy standing there and had an earring in his ear. And my old mountain preacher friend leaned over to that boy and said, excuse me, but I've heard that means you're queer. Do you have an earring in your ear mean you're queer? And that guy said, no, sir, it doesn't. That means if you have one in the other ear. And the preacher brother said, oh, does that mean you're about that far from being queer? Amen. That's a blessing, brother. That's a blessing. Now listen, the most famous symbol of those guys is a cross. When George Michael struts around on the stage and talks about what all the filthy things he wants to do to that girl, he wears a cross around his neck. Man. When Guns N' Roses wants to sell the record, they put their faces on that cross, the blessed cross of Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for our sins. God does, he just sits there and watches. He says, I want them saved. I want them saved. There's a fellow that's real popular right now. His name's Jim Carrey. He makes all these famous movies now. like stupid and stupider. And I ain't never seen none of his movies, but I saw a little skit he done in Montana. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you kids something. That guy's a pervert. He's a pervert. I saw him with my own eyes. I heard him with my own ears. Where he stood up and they were having a mock. He was acting like an evangelist. And they were trying to raise money. And it was all about sex. And he had the filthiest talk you ever heard in your life. Talking about how that, oh, how you say, well, he's so funny. Listen, brother, God don't think that's funny. God don't think it's funny. Listen, there's a lot of people funny. But I'd die before I'd laugh at them if they don't love God. Some pervert like Richard Pryor or somebody like that. Amen. The Lord don't laugh at that. He said, well, I just laugh at his clean jokes. I bet you the Lord don't laugh at it. He was joking around. He had a Bible waving around. They were trying to raise money. And they talked about all the commandments. And they were telling this other evangelist, they're going to tell all the women he had been with and committed adultery with if all the people didn't send in money. And all of a sudden the phone lights lit up and all the money started coming in. And then they asked him, they said, where do you get your talent? One guy was interviewing him. And they said, where do you get your talent? Come up with all these jokes. And he says, the Lord gives it to me. He's making a joke out of it. Making God. God don't give him that trash. A demon gives him that trash. He says, he's cute. I don't care how cute he is. Well, that's not funny. God lets them become to demonstrate God's long suffering. If the Lord let me be God or you be God for a day, and we look down and see this world, first time one of them guys come out there and said, I dare you, boy, we'd say, all right. How about 100,000 votes? Knock. Wouldn't that be neat? But God don't do that. You know why? Because he's a lot better than we are. Amen? I read in one of Dr. Peter Ruckman's commentaries how that he said, he's a painter, you know, and he paints a lot. He used to paint a lot of baptistries and churches. And he said that after he'd been saved 3 months, somebody asked him to paint a baptistry, and he's down in a baptistry, and God started reminding him where he'd been. And he reminded him back in 1945 in the Philippines, where he had painted as a mockery a picture of the Lord's Supper with their eyes, they was all drunk and their eyes was crossed and everything up in blasphemy. And then he got down and said, now these hands are painting the picture of the River of Jordan to be baptized and to give them hands to God. That's why God lets the wicked prosper sometimes, to show how long-suffering and merciful he is. Number four. God lets the wicked prosper, listen to this, to make their overthrow more spectacular when it finally comes. You know the old saying, the bigger they are, harder they fall. Brother, when a man's a monarch or a dictator or something like that, and brother, he hits the ground, big shots land hard in hell, people. God lets them prosper so that when he finally does drop them off, everybody goes, man, at the power of God, how he brings them down. Grace Metalius, who come up with a old soap opera show, Peyton Place Filth, many years ago, bought Cadillacs, stayed drunk, lived like the devil. She died and God overthrew her, and there's 25 people at her funeral. She died a miserable, wretched death. God overthrew her. You watch these people that are so big shot right now. If you get to live long enough and Jesus don't come, look how they found old Elvis one day. Look how they found him. He prospered. He became great. But look how they found him one morning, dead with his body full of drugs. Look how they found Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and look what happened to old John Lennon. I don't mean to be mean. Please, some of these things I said about that guy a while ago, Madonna, all that, sound like I'm a mean person, but it just irritates the fire out of me, brother, if they can't leave God alone and take his name in vain, stuff like that. That ain't right. Man, if you love the Lord, that ought to bother you. You know what John Lennon said back in the 60s? He said, Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. He said, we, the Beatles, are more popular than Jesus now. The Lord let that go. And let it go. And let it go. And then old John Lennon turned hippie and he got old Yoko and he got his guitar. And he's saying, imagine there's no heaven. Oh, it's piano on that one. It's easy if you try. Na-na-na-na-na. No hell below us. Na-na-na-na-na. Just earth and sky. Imagine all the people. And he's just saying, just imagine the world. There's no heaven. There's no hell. And God said, okay. That's it. Right through the head, buddy. He's in hell tonight. He was an atheist. John Lennon was an atheist. He said Jesus Christ. Listen to me. John Lennon said Jesus Christ was something like a garlic-eating, stinking Jewish bastard. Quote him. That's what he called your Savior. And God let it go. And God let it go. And God let it go. And bam, he's screaming in hellfire tonight. God lets the wicked prosper so that when they finally go down, buddy, it comes down with boom. And it scares people. Number five. God lets the wicked prosper to show people that there's finally going to be a day of judgment. Now, the reason I say that is because everything don't get evened out here. This world's not fair. People say, well, it's not fair. So-and-so living like the devil and everything. And then we got people here in our church. Their husband left them. They can't pay their bills. Their kids rebelled. They're living in poverty. They can't even go out to eat a hamburger. They can't have a car. The car stays tore up all the time. Then they got physical problems. What's the deal, preacher? I'll tell you what the deal is. There's a settling up day coming out yonder in the future. That proves there's a judgment day, buddy. All wrongs don't get straight here, but don't you worry your little head one bit. God's not letting anything go. Nobody's getting away with nothing. I've seen ladies, I know a woman right now. Her husband left her for another woman that he met at work. It just killed this lady. I mean, she grieved. She grieved. She got bitter. She hated everybody and everything. And boy, she thought, this is, how come he's out there running around with that woman and here I am miserable and I'm not happy and he's out there having a good time and I'm sitting here home by myself. And it just killed her. It don't seem right. It don't seem fair. Now, a few years later, he died with cancer. And judgment day ain't even got here yet. God's going to fix it. Don't you worry, buddy. Don't you worry one bit. Don't you worry. Their livestock don't die, the Bible said. Their calves have their calves. They kids are in rich kids' schools, and they some of these girls. You've heard about them? Where was it? I was on an airplane. I read in USA Today that a woman cop in New York, Playboy paid her, Playboy Penthouse, one of them magazines, paid that girl $250,000 to take her picture. Just take her picture. $250,000. Now, most of us here tonight, it would take years and years and years to make $250,000. She made it in one session of taking pictures. Sometimes you think, my goodness. You know what that shows? Judgment day is coming. Number six, and this is last. God lets the wicked prosper because they're having all the heaven they're ever going to have right now. John 16:20 said, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy, or something like that. You just hang tough, Christian. Hang tight. Do right. Serve God. They're out there partying tonight and living it up. Woo! Boy, we're having fun. You dumb Christians are missing all the fun. Don't you young people, don't some of your friends look at you sometimes and they're like, you stupid thing. You're sitting in church all the time and reading that Bible. They're having fun, man. Well, you tell them this. You tell them Brother Danny said, you're having all the heaven you're ever going to have right now. And guess what? We're having all the hell we're ever going to have. It's the baddest it's ever going to get for us right now. Really, knowing the Lord, it ain't so bad right now, is it? Having all these blessings, I can forget the booze and forget the parties. That ain't no big deal, man. This is all the hell we're ever going to get. Buddy, when we die, son, we're going to see a city that would knock your eyeballs out. You think of the most fun you've ever had in your life down here on this earth. It'll be magnified 1,000 times up there forever and ever and ever. And there's no disappointment, just happiness and joy and peace and glory and shouting forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. A little high for me there, brother. But I'll tell you what, brother. Listen to me. Listen to me. We're going to rejoice in that land. Woo! We're going to rejoice in that land. In the sweet by and by. And that when we meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by. Brother, all our problems will be... Let them laugh. Let them make fun of us. Let them call us old fogies. Let them point at our bumper stickers. Let them say they're crazy for giving up this. Let them say they're silly for not drinking. One day, we'll serve it better on the other side. Hallelujah! It'll all be over. You say, well, they make fun of me at work. Let them make fun, brother. Every time they make fun of you, God's just piling up reward. This is all the hell we're ever going to have. This is all the heaven they're ever going to have. Kind of makes you just want somebody to persecute you. That'll make heaven sweeter, amen? Glory to God. God lets them prosper. That's why you should never envy them. Kids, let me tell you something. When you go by the Pizza Hut and all they're out there, they're all sitting in the cars looking at, don't say, I wish I was with them. Don't think like that. Feel sorry for them. Poor old things. They ain't got nothing better. What's so great about sitting in front of the Pizza Hut? Sitting on your cars. Okay, here comes the girls right around. Air blows, you know. How stupid, man. Oh, good night. They're just going to go on. What's a big deal? What's a big deal? Are you trying to kid? You call that fun? Fun. My soul. If that's all the heaven they're ever going to get right there. The big highlight of the night is when they finally stop and you get to go over and lean over the car and talk for a few minutes. Whoa. Boy, you got it made, ain't you? That ain't so much. That ain't so hot. You mean to tell me that you go off on a bus and go on Friday night and waste your Friday night? Why, sure. Sure. We're getting ready for heaven. Where we're going to live forever and ever and ever. You know, Bob Jones Sr. said one time, y'all come on and get us a song. Bob Jones Sr. is a wise man. And he said this. He said one day it dawned on him. He said, I've got to live forever somewhere. So I better start learning how to live. And all you young people listen to me tonight. You're going to live forever somewhere. You might as well just start learning how to live. Amen? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for these encouraging thoughts from the Word of God. Lord, don't let us envy the wicked. God, help us to pity them. Help us to feel sorry for them. Oh, God, Lord Jesus, help us to realize how wonderful it is to be saved. This all the hell we're ever going to have. We're going to heaven to be with Jesus forever. Bless tonight in our church. If there's that one of those here tonight who's not right with you, I pray that this will be the night as young people, mamas and daddies alike, they'll come to this altar tonight and make things right. In Jesus' name we pray and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.